And we'll note that the union leader has a reputation of its own in politics for making and breaking presidential candidates. It's a conservative paper. Its late publisher, William Loeb, helped make the New Hampshire primary important. But this state really is full of informed voters who demand personal interaction with candidates. They're astute, discerning, demanding, and as Day-to-Day's Mike Pesca reports, utterly atypical.
As high as the stakes were, last night's debate seemed like a typical election event. Soundbite-length messages of hope and change, reined in only by the limits of imagination and a bell. But to New Hampshire voters, a TV debate is but a small part of the overall political experience. After the debate, New Hampshire's former governor, Gene Shaheen, placed the event in context.
Clearly, a lot of people watched the debate tonight, but they also have been to events for a number of the candidates in this race. So I think there's an awful lot of grassroots politics that goes on in New Hampshire, and that's what makes it so special.
Not just former governors think the state is special. Dean Scala, a professor at St. Anselm College, which hosted the debate, says the media likes the idea and the convenience of New Hampshire.
I think the national political media, for instance, loves New Hampshire because it's a laboratory for them. They get to see the candidates under real conditions as opposed to, you know, hiding behind spinners and ad makers.
The problem is that results in the laboratory might not be easily duplicated in the real world, where 30-second ads have a great effect on voter behavior. Michael Cheney is the director of the New Hampshire Political Library.
In other states, just use California as an example, a campaign may be limited to, okay, we're going to place the ads in this in these dozen media markets. The voter there knows that's what the campaigns are dealt in terms of tools to operate, and they make their decisions in a very different way than they would in New Hampshire.
CNN host and former Bill Clinton advisor Paul Begala makes an analogy to another big state.
I think having a highly informed electorate starting to winnow out the field is a good thing. I wouldn't want to go to a big state like my state of Texas where there's 19 media markets and just let people passively sit on the sofa and knock people out of the race for the presidency. I like the fact here these people bundle up, they go out in the cold, and they put these guys to their paces. I like it.
Okay, so we've heard that New Hampshire is a better state to host the first primary than California or Texas. But if the value of the first primary is to get a read on the overall electorate, you couldn't pick two better states than California and Texas, simply because so many people live there. If a candidate wins those two states, he'll have campaigned before a fifth of the U.S. population. That's a huge sample size. By contrast, New Hampshire represents only 0.4% of the population. As it turns out, New Hampshire isn't the perfect test market, according to Dartmouth professor Linda Fowler. The state's value lies elsewhere.
What New Hampshireites are best at doing for the rest of the voters are sort of identifying potential weaknesses, flagging somebody as saying, this is a person who hasn't been on your radar screen, maybe he or she should be. New Hampshire is kind of a safety valve sometimes for people who are dissenting or people who are unhappy with the status quo. And so I think it's more a kind of cueing the rest of the voters in states that follow, rather than really being kingmakers.
In short, New Hampshire serves as a valuable corrective. If it's weird that the corrective is the first primary, like sorbet before the meal, New Hampshireites don't think so. They prefer shaping the election to their own tastes. For Day to Day, I'm Mike Pesca.